Back home now, and the Children's Rights Alliance has called on the government to invest more in special services for families, particularly in most disadvantaged areas. Ahead of the budget, it said that early interventions are vital to tackling child poverty. But many parents are seeing crucial windows pass by due to long waiting lists. In a moment, we'll hear what supports might be available in the budget when we speak with the Social Protection Minister, Heather Humphreys. But first, our reporter Gavin O'Callaghan has been talking to parents who are struggling and in need of help.
Up and down the country, families are waiting. They are waiting for vital support services for their children, for things like speech and language therapy, access to a children's disability network team, childcare and more. And for many, the wait has been years and the stress is mounting. This week, the Children's Rights Alliance called on the government to ramp up investment into its Equal Start programme. It surveyed 37 organisations that support just under 6,000 children between them. And it was reported back to them that around 2,500 kids did not have access to specialist services in their own community. This week, I wanted to find out what it's like for parents in this position. So I went to Family Bases Centre in the heart of Ballyfermot to see what kind of services are being provided day to day. And it was here that I met with its CEO, Fiona Carney, and she talked me through what the organisation does.
We offer a range of services, early years and after school services, child and family services, including family support and therapy and parenting programmes and parent and toddler groups. And we also offer youth services and arts groups and arts activities and community events.
Miss Carney talked me through the challenges that both they and the parents they meet daily face.
In the early years and after school strand, the first issue we're having is capacity places. So we have over 100 families on the waiting list just waiting for an early years or an after schools place.
This is Gavin, everybody.
Hi everyone, how are things?
Miss Carney introduced me to some of the parents who come here each week. And one of those was Tracy. Tracy has two daughters aged 7 and 9, and her youngest has global development delay, while her eldest was diagnosed with autism. But even getting a diagnosis was a battle that took years.
For Chloe, she was waiting from the age of 2 until earlier this year when she was diagnosed with autism. Like, so for those 6 years, my child's had to go through trauma in our own little minds, going through all these meltdowns and me saying that she's like not believing her, that she's like, and she's punching herself and scraping herself and pulling the hair out of herself and like looking at her and saying, well, what is wrong? But it took 6 years and just ridiculous. And then from the diagnosis up till now, today, the present, I only got a phone call this morning for our first interaction with, like, going on to further, like, speech therapy and the OT, which she really needs.
As well as accessing more specialist services, just getting childcare has also been a struggle. And there are knock-on effects for those who can't obtain it. Another mother, who asked not to be named, said she is waiting to go back to her job, but can't until she gets her daughter a place.
There's no spaces, just the waiting list. Some places aren't even letting you go onto the waiting list because it's too long.
And then just in the meantime then, obviously, you're out of work, and how are you finding then just minding the kids and getting everything sorted?
I find it so difficult, like it's arrears with rent and stuff like that, like everything is so difficult because my money is completely halved. Now I have 2 children and you have to obviously feed and clothe your kids, and then obviously the likes of bringing them out places, like you want to be able to give them a good childhood, so you're bringing them out places and like you don't I don't have to fund them for that. And even like shopping nowadays, like the cost of living, like is through the roof, like, you know, like you used to go to Aldi and get shopping for €40, now you go to Aldi get one bag of shopping for €40, like, you know, it's ridiculous.
Another parent I met, Rebecca, has a qualification in childcare and works in Family Base. Rebecca knows all too well what challenges the parents she meets face, as she is also fighting to get services for her own son, who is in first class in school.
His school place is at risk due to his additional needs, and they are just not able to manage his needs as it stands because they are also struggling with the same things that we are here at Family Base. But we are in the position now where we're being forced to kind of seek private, like, kind of help. And even if we get diagnoses or anything like that, we are left in a position where we don't have more money to then seek private kind of therapies, like occupational therapy, speech and language therapy. We have to still wait for the public kind of sector to kick in and help us with them. So we're kind of just at a standstill now, where do we put ourselves into financial hardship where we can't afford anything anymore and, like, max out all the loans, or do we take our child out of school and then have to come out of work to look after him as well?
These are just a snapshot of the stories that Fiona Kearney says she hears every day in Family Base.
It's a trap for people, you know. People are trying every day, families that we work with and that come here for support, to keep their head above water. And I know the government talks about, you know, supporting all children, and that's welcome, you know, and universal supports are welcome. But we have to have targeted supports, because if we don't, these families fall further and further behind. And, you know, at the end of the day, when we talk about children, I don't think it matters what side of the political spectrum you land on, who you support, who you vote for. Surely everybody wants for children to have a happy, safe and joyful childhood.
And that was the CEO of Family Base, Fiona Kearney, ending that report by Gavin O'Callaghan. So will there be help available for those parents in the budget to be delivered on Tuesday? It will be the biggest budget giveaway in modern times. It will include spending increases and tax cuts, and will be the final budget before the general election. The largest spending department in government is the Department of Social Protection, and the minister in charge is Heather Humphreys, and she is on the line now. Minister, good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Thank you, and good afternoon, Justin.
You heard those parents there speaking to Gavin, Minister. One of the ways of offering help is by increasing rates of child benefit. It's widely reported today that there is a difference of opinion in government about whether to increase the core rates of child benefit or to provide a double payment before Christmas, which would be a one-off measure. Has that dispute been settled?
Yeah, well, first of all, can I just say that, you know, when I read the paper about rows between government parties, you'd think we were all sitting around the table killing each other. Well, that is certainly not the case. You know, we have a limited pot of money available. And between us, we're trying to figure out the best approach on how that money can be spent. You know, I do want to do something on child benefit. We had a double child benefit payment last year. It was very, very popular. And I had a lot of parents coming up to me and saying that was a great bonus before Christmas. It was a big help to young families. Yes, child benefit is a priority for me, but nothing is decided yet.
Okay.
And can I just say also that but just in relation to Children's Rights Alliance, I was really pleased to work with them in expanding the Hot School Meals programme and extending it to the remaining schools, right, primary schools right across the country, is certainly a priority for me in this budget.
Okay.
And I'm also going to look at a pilot project on how we can cover children during holiday time. So that addresses, you know, child poverty and some of the concerns that were raised in your report.
All right. Just back on child benefit for a moment, Minister. You spoke in there about the popularity of the double child benefit payment. Presumably that is something that you will be advocating for again. What about an increase in core child benefit rates? Is that on the table for this budget also?
Yeah, well, look, we have a limited pot we, you know, we do have different views on how to spend it. I'm attending a meeting later on today with the party leaders and the two finance ministers. All of these things will be looked at. But my own view is that, you know, before Christmas, a few bob in your pocket is very useful, because I know the children are getting all these magazines from the shops at the minute. They're going through them in great detail, I might say. They're cutting out what they want for Christmas, and it does put pressure on parents. And
all right.
I think, you know, a bit of support before Christmas is a big help.
Okay, so a strong hint there. Will there be any targeted supports to help families in need, the type of families that you heard about in that report there?
Yes, there will be targeted supports, and again, we have to decide. Look, the budget isn't finished yet. The budget negotiations are not finished, and targeted supports always are contingent on the rate increases, because I can tell you now that rate increases are expensive. So 1 euro of an increase in weekly payments costs about 80 million. 10 euros on weekly payments cost 800 million, and a 15 euro increase would cost 1.2 billion, and that would be before you do anything else in terms of targeted measures, whether it's fuel allowance, the qualified child payment, expanding the hot school meals, and so on. So the higher the increases in the weekly rates, the less room it leaves for other targeted measures. But look, I certainly am looking at a number of other measures to support. Okay. To support families.
You have increased the pension over recent years. Is that the intention again this year, that the pension, the old age pension, would increase?
Yeah, well, I do expect that there will be an increase in the social welfare rates, and I think that's important. It's important that we support our older people. They've worked hard all their lives. And they have contributed to our economy. They've contributed hugely to it. And I really do not want to see any old person, afraid to turn on the heat. And for that reason, I'm going to look, obviously, at some targeted measures, whether it's the fuel allowance or the living alone allowance.
It's reported in several newspapers today that there is also a difference of opinion, we won't call it a row, over whether job seekers' allowance should rise at the same rate as the other social welfare payments. Considering we're at full employment, are you minded to keep any increases in job seekers' allowance lower than the other increases?
Yeah, well, this is one of the issues that we still have to make a decision on. And I think the point I have made is very simple. We have carers in the country that are working 24/7. There are people with severe disabilities who genuinely cannot work. And then there are old age pensioners who have already worked hard all their lives. So I suppose my point on job seekers is we're at full employment. There are businesses crying out for staff, and with the limited resources available to me, my priority is to support our carers, our pensioners and people with disabilities. And can I just say there's a range of supports available to help people who are long-term unemployed back to work. As I said, the pot's limited for me, and I have to prioritise the groups with the greatest needs. So if everyone gets the same, then there is less for other measures. And at a time of full employment, when people are looking for workers, no matter what sector you're talking to, why would you give the same payment to the long-term unemployed?
Well, the other political parties, Fianna Fáil and the Green Party, Malcolm Noonan was on The Week in Politics earlier saying his party wouldn't support a situation whereby the rate of job seekers wasn't increased in line with the other payments. So have you got a problem?
Yeah, well, this is, as I said, there's a limited pot. We all have views on how best to spend the money that's available to us. And can I just say, it will be sorted and there will be a good package on budget day, because the social welfare budget, it's a bit like putting together a jigsaw. It's not complete until the last piece goes in. And until everything is agreed, nothing is agreed. And all of these things will be considered. And I have no doubt we will have a strong package to support our carers, our people with disabilities, working families, and indeed our older people.
You mentioned carers there, Minister. Will the means test for carers remain?
Well, I am looking at a specific package for our family carers. So there will be increases in terms of the weekly payment. I'm also looking at widening the means test so more families can qualify, and a number of other measures.
But you're not going to phase out the means test or anything like that in this budget?
Well, look, it's as I said, I have a limited envelope within which to work in. I can't do everything in one budget. It is a very, very expensive measure to completely abolish the means test. And I have set up a working group to look at it, because there are people who are providing 24/7 care, and I absolutely recognise the wonderful work that they're doing, and I commend them for it. But just I, as Minister for Social Protection, I have to target the money where it's most needed, and that's why there is a means test within the social welfare system.
All right. There are going to be a series of one-off payments in this budget also. We know that. It's been spoken about by party leaders and by the Minister for Finance, just as there were last year as well, including energy credits. Will the majority of those one-off payments come this side of Christmas?
Yeah, well, I anticipate there will be a strong cost of living package that will be paid this side of Christmas. So, for example, I'm conscious, as I said earlier, of the need to support our older people in terms of the fuel allowance and the living alone allowance. We're looking at how we can support our carers and people with disabilities. So I do expect there will be a strong package of cost of living payments.
And you say there'll be the majority of those will be before Christmas. Will there be further energy credits then next year?
Well, the energy credits actually don't fall within my department, so I'm not privy to that budget negotiations. I'll stick to my own for now.
Okay, but given that you're confirming that most of these or many of these one-off payments will come on this side of Christmas, then do you see the budget as being a platform from which to launch the general election campaign?
Yeah, well, if I had a euro for every time I was asked about an election, then money would be no problem in this budget. But the date of the election, whenever it is, well, I can tell you it's above my pay grade. And my focus and the focus of everybody at the minute is putting together a strong budget for Tuesday, because we want to put more money back in people's pockets. We want to help people with the increase in the cost of living, because we all know when we go to the checkout in the supermarket, you have to pay more for the same amount in the basket. And look, it's we want to support people, and that's my focus, is to help people and to give them that help in hand when they need it.
But you've been outlining some of the big spending plans there, Minister. Eating bread, as you know, is soon forgotten. From your point of view, and you're an experienced, a wily politician, does it make more sense to go to the country on the back of a big budget or to wait until after Christmas when everyone has a few more bills to pay?
Well, as I said, that's above my pay grade. I'm not going to get into those. I don't have to make that decision, thankfully. But what I do know at this point in time, I want to give people a helping hand. Last year, there were some measures that I took in terms of supporting people with epilepsy for a free travel pass. And I can tell you one thing, that is not forgotten. People are able to access, get to their work, they're able to access the free travel, people who with disabilities. And that's one measure. It may not get the headlines, but I can tell you, it makes a big difference in people's lives.
All right. Before I let you go, Minister, you have plans in place for an auto-enrolment pension scheme. You've given, I think, three different dates so far for the rollout of that scheme. I know it is problematic for employers because they need a lead-in time for it, but the latest date you had was January 1st. Is that still the intention, or has the date changed?
Yeah, well, auto-enrolment has been a key priority for me as Minister, and it will mean 800,000 workers will have an occupational pension on top of their state pension. It has been talked about for a long time, I think nearly 30 years, but it is going to happen. I got the legislation through the Houses of the Oireachtas before the summer. We have selected the contractor to carry out the administration work, Tata Consulting, and they're very experienced in this area. They've operated the auto-enrolment system in the UK for the last 12 years. So on Thursday last, government agreed that the start date for enrolments under the automatic enrolment system will be the 30th of September 2025, and full details will be announced this week as part of the budget.
All right, so that's a full year away. So you're giving a full year's lead-in now to to this auto-enrolment scheme.
Yeah, well, by naming the start date now, we're giving businesses certainty and we're giving a full year's lead-in time. And I think that's fair. We have listened to businesses. There's a phased approach so that automatic enrolment starts with a 1.5% contribution from employers and 1.5% from the employees and a top-up from the government. And that's gradually growing to 6% over 10 years. And in the long term, this is going to mean people will have more money and more comfort in their retirement. It's good for the economy. It's good for businesses and it's good for our society. And the key thing here is that it is happening in 2025.
All right. Minister for Social Protection, Heather Humphreys, thank you for speaking with us today. After the break, we'll be joined by the Sinn Féin leader, Mary Lou MacDonald.